I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Raptors Over Everything, a podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, and joining me on this week's episode, we got a great guest, senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports, Chris Haynes. How you doing?
Hey, I don't know if it's a great guest in these neck of the woods, man.
No. Listen. We already addressed it in the previous video, which you can look for. But I guess, you know, for anyone who hadn't seen the video, we can address it here too. I think Raptors fans are familiar with Chris Haynes. I feel like we got a love-hate relationship with you for some reason.
Why is that? What did I do? Explain to me.
Well, I mean, you did tell us on July 18th that Kawhi had no desire to play in Toronto. Now, this was at the time of the trade, but it has come out since then. It has been on record proven that you were indeed correct. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I was fine with it, but I was just it was just funny because after every single game that Kawhi had a good game or did something amazing, that tweet would pop up, and I would get certain notifications.
Yep.
And the funny thing about it was it wouldn't just come from fans. It was coming from journalists. I'm like, verified people. And I'm like, hold on, what's going on here? Like, so I always wondered, like, where was that coming from? Like, was that they didn't believe it? Or was it, you know, as you guys explain later, like a rallying cry? Like, I don't know. So I was just trying to get an understanding.
Yeah, I mean, I try to explain to you that Toronto has a very petty energy. Like, you know how Drake is very petty?
Yeah.
Like, in that arena, that's 20,000 Drakes. And
that's
then,
all it is.
And then in this city, with like the greater Toronto population, everyone like that, it's like it's probably like 6-7 million Drakes
like
in the
that.
City.
That's how
and
it the, is. Okay.
And the whole thing is not just like the Raptors or as an organization has sort of been on the outside looking in. You know, it's not necessarily been like a, I would say like a luxury market, despite the fact that it is a pretty great city. It's just sort of, it's like the American Canadian thing. There's a whole bunch of things going on. So it's always about like the Raptors are underdogs. So anytime anyone doubts us, You know, people get up in arms.
But did I doubt y'all, or was it?
You were just reporting facts.
Yeah, I was just.
You were just reporting facts.
Why am I getting killed? Why am I getting ripped?
I don't know. I think because you know what it is. You know what it is. I think some people picked it up and then said he wasn't going to report to the Raptors.
Yeah,
and I think there's been situations like Alonzo Mourning in the past where it was like players got traded to Toronto and they were like, I'm not even going.
Yeah. No, I've never reported that he was not going to report for camp. That was taking it. To the extreme.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, listen. Welcome to Toronto. I hope people are treating you well. The city's treating
you
well. And stuff.
No, I'm good.
Game one of the NBA Finals just went down. The Raptors won.
Yeah.
I mean, well, first off, what were your thoughts on game one? Because obviously, you know, there was no KD and the Warriors a little bit rusty, you know, coming off a couple of days. But, you know, from a Raptors perspective, I kind of looked at it. It was the Raptors played their game and they just won straight up.
No, they did. I mean, I was a little surprised with the defensive attack. Game plan and trapping Kawhi. Clearly, they're going to go into it with the notion that we got to make everybody else beat us.
Yep.
And Milwaukee did that a little bit. I think Golden State's traps were a little bit more aggressive. And so if Toronto can continue to get quality production from Marc Gasol, he was just unbelievable. They got this as long as Kevin Durant is out. That's it.
Yeah, and that's a big if. We've never been in the final situation where a guy like Kevin Durant, who is arguably the best player on earth, is coming back during a series.
Yeah, I mean, but
it just never happens.
It never happens. Like this,
you would never make the finals if KD's out.
I mean, but
any other team.
But think about it. Even though I know he hasn't had much of a role this season, but DeMarcus Cousins, his first game back was game one NBA Finals.
Yeah,
you know, so they have a lot of star power still on the mend. But look, man, I was surprised what Toronto did and the way guys stepped up, and I was a little surprised.
Did you see this coming from Pascal Siakam?
That game one performance or just his emergence this season?
Just that game one performance, but also the emergence.
Game one, I mean, we know he's capable. We know what he's capable of now.
Right, right.
But as far as the season, no, I didn't see that at all. You know, I spoke with his agent, Ty Ramassar, before the season, and he was just pumping them up to me.
Yeah.
Chris, he's going to be legit. Mm-hmm. Chris, you might have to do a story. I'm like, man, I don't know, Todd. Like, I don't know, man. Yeah, I'll see.
27th pick, yeah, New Mexico State.
Yeah,
you know, like,
come on now. I mean, those are the type of calls we get all the time.
Yeah, of course.
From agents. You know, hey, check him out, dude.
Yeah.
And he was right on. Like, I was caught sleeping. Like, I didn't cover one Raptors regular season game this season because lot of it was because, like, I didn't know if
you were afraid to come to the border because of the tweet.
No, probably that was probably the main thing, you know, if I'm being real. But you know, that and Kawhi, like, you just didn't know if he was going to play or not.
Yeah, exactly, you're right.
So
yeah,
I didn't want, you know, and so that was the main factor. But you know, I should have definitely been in more Raptor games this year.
Yeah. And the crazy thing with Pascal was, like, none of us here saw it either. You know what I mean? Like, because when he got taken 27th overall, like, I remember, like, the immediate reaction on draft night was, like, who?
Yeah.
Who is this guy? You know what I mean? Like, people hadn't even heard of this guy. Like, no one's seen him play basketball, basically.
I'll say this just to show you the respect he has around his peers. It was a playoff game. It was early in the playoffs. Golden State Warriors. I forgot who. They might have been playing the Rockets. And Raptors game is on, is on the TV in the Warriors locker room. The players are watching. Kevin Durant's on the floor, and he's just watching the game. And it was a couple sequels there. Pascal, like, did something. Like, he scored a couple sequels. And then KD just out of nowhere was like, that dude can't be stopped. And I knew Pascal had a great season. I was like, you feel that way about him already?
You're right.
He was like, dude, he can shoot.
Yeah.
He's long.
Yep.
He can dribble the ball and get to the hole.
Yeah.
He can't be stopped. And I was like, damn. And so when he said that, I started like, wow, they really feel like he's, like, on star potential status right now. And
yeah,
when you got the respect of your peers, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I don't think realistically he's going to be, like, a number one option on, like a championship contending team. But, I mean, at the same time, like, I don't think anyone saw him as an ability as a scorer. Now, this is where I got to put you on the spot.
All right.
Did you vote for him most improved?
Yes, I did.
You did? Yeah. Okay, good. See, good. Yeah. Should tweet that out there. Then Raptors fans will, you know.
They ain't going to change. They ain't going to change anything. Because Uncle Dennis came out and said the same thing, and I'm still getting killed, man. So, I understand the lay of the land around here, though. It's a bunch of petty people in Toronto.
Yep.
That's good, because I'm petty myself. So, yeah. I get it. I just wanted
you just got to get on our good sides. You guys got to tell people more often that you voted Pascal most improved. That's the next thing we're petty about. People are getting mad at D'Angelo Russell. I'm like, why? He's having a great year.
Why did he get mad? Oh, because he was in the
because it was just a conversation. But it wasn't even like he was doing
but
anything.
But if you look at, I mean, you knew D'Angelo had potential. I mean, what did he average, like 15 the year before?
Yeah.
So that's not like, okay. Nah, he should be unanimous.
He should be. Yeah, Pascal, like, out of nowhere. I mean, like, game one, 14 of 17 from the field. And, yeah, then to your point about, like, you know, players respecting himself, like, you know, immediate availability today, like, Draymond was talking about, like, he really respects guys that have, you know, got out of the mud, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, it's one thing for you to come into the NBA with, like, every single skill possible. Like, you know, like, KD, when he came into the league, was like, all right, well, this is going to be a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's other players where it's, like, you know, Draymond's this way, I guess, too. But, like, you know, you look at Pascal, like, he had to develop new skills. And it's the same thing with Kawhi. There's a kind of a strange little symmetry between the two of them, just because expectations for those two guys coming into the league were basically both, like, 3-and-D, good athlete, you know what I mean, could develop a jump shot, maybe you could do some things. And, like, you know, over time, it's sort of like they just kind of redefine their own expectations. And I think those are the kind of players you respect the most.
So, by and large, here in Toronto, do they view Pascal as being the second – best player on the team now? Is he overtake Lowry?
There's, like, the numbers people that will still say Lowry, because Lowry's numbers are always – the Vance numbers are always, like, Kyle Lowry's, you know, this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people know by now. Pascal's the second best guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to see what the overwhelming view is. You know, look.
But they take turns, too. You know, like in Milwaukee series, Kyle Lowry was the second best guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like, I'm really impressed with just the atmosphere here, man.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, you know, I was out. I know the fans don't have anything to do with the basketball game. Well, that's my belief. But I was just wondering, like, I was looking at, I thought Golden State was going to get game one, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm walking outside, and it's like 3 hours before tip, people are already going crazy.
Yep.
And lining up out there. And then you just saw it build. And I was like, damn, like, is this going to carry on inside? And it was even more.
Yep.
And I was like, damn, this is going to be a tough place for them to get a win. Like, you think about usually when you talk about the best home court advantages in the league, Golden State is there.
Yep.
Portland is there. Houston at times.
I feel like people like OKC a little bit. Because that college atmosphere.
OKC college atmosphere is loud in there.
Yeah.
But shoot, man, I gotta say right now, everything's going on. The buzz around the city, top two.
Yeah.
Toronto, top two.
It was good. All right. We talked about enough of the Raptors. Let's talk about the Warriors. I mean, in terms of adjustments, if you're Steve Kerr, you're looking at that film, what concerned you the most about game one, and what are you locking into your team in terms of, we got to fix this?
I don't think there's much adjustment that need to be made. I think Draymond said it best where he's, first of all, I applaud him for coming out and saying that, but he said he has to take Pascal out.
Yep. I mean, it's on him, really. That's his assignment.
That's his assignment. But I think they focus, with their rotations, they focus a lot on Kawhi, and that kind of disrupts that. But they're willing to live with Mark Gasol shooting those jumpers.
Right.
And, at a certain point, like, they want him to get encouraged and feel good about shooting those shots with the belief that the percentages will come back in their favor.
Okay.
So that's their plan. And then Draymond wants to, obviously, limit Pascal.
Right.
So I think they feel like if they correct those, then I think they feel like they'll be in good shape. I don't know if that's going to work, but
right.
I think that's their plan of attack. But, look, I'll tell you right now, with Iguodala being – hampered with that leg injury,
mm-hmm.
he was Kawhi's primary defender for most of the game. So if he's not, he's going to play, but if he's not able to give anywhere close to 100, that they're in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Raptors are looking at it right now in terms of just, you know, it's an advantageous situation. You know, Boogie's on the mend. Iguodala, I mean, I thought he was going to be healthy, but then you saw that layup at the end of the game one where it looked like he strained his left leg again.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like that's going to be going away anytime soon. And obviously KD isn't in until at least game three, as you reported,
and even
right?
when he gets in, like, I don't expect him to be 100%.
That's true. So I think the Raptors are kind of looking at it as quickly as we can, let's build up a big lead and force the Warriors to come back and make this huge, you know, comeback. Because, look, the Raptors got home court advantage. You know, they got a couple things working in their favor.
No, for sure.
So Iguodala, he's hampered. Boogie, what did you think of Boogie's game one? Like, because obviously he was only limited to 8 minutes. Normally he would play more than that.
Nah, he was pissed after the game. He wanted more minutes.
Okay.
Like, he didn't want to talk, really. He was pissed, man. I mean, he's a competitor. I love Boogie. But he was passive. He was passive down there. Like, when he did get the ball in the paint, he was mm-hmm. looking to make the kick out opposite side of the court. It was like he was trying to be Draymond and not be his dominant self. Because they're going to need a paint presence a little bit. But he's trying to get, you know, he wanted such a massive role. I think one that he's just not ready for right now.
Right.
And he has to accept that. But if he can get going, he's going to give them a great aspect on an offensive end. So I just don't know if there's enough time to get him back acclimated the way he wants it.
Do you think there needs to be a conversation with Steve in terms of just like, hey, listen, you know, for this series, especially in your current role, like, it's probably best if you can sort of do that six man kind of thing.
It's kind
of, or
like,
should they start him maybe? Because he's probably used to starting and getting his feet wet and stuff. It's not normal for him to come in second quarter and then only play 8 minutes.
I could see him starting. I could see them starting him at some point, because if you look at their centers, it's always center by committee.
Yeah, yeah.
So if Cousins, if he's having a bad 3 minutes, they'll plop Damian Jones, Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, and
right.
you know, quit with the quickness. But at this stage, like, coaches don't like having those talks about okay. it's the finals. You know what I mean? It's
trying to focus on other
things. We're trying to focus. Like, you got to put your pride to the side. It's not about you. You know what I mean? So they don't like having these talks right now. Like, it's just get with the program.
Okay. Fair enough. You reported about KD's status. Mm-hmm. You said game three was possible, but game four is most likely.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of days in a row now where he's been able to get on the floor and do some work. I mean, you're right here. I'll just ask you, what's the state of Kevin Durant, and, you know, when do you see him come back in the series? And when he does come back, sort of what state do you think he'll be in?
He'll be back towards the middle of this series, you know, either three or four. The Warriors feel like it's most likely four.
Okay.
Players feel like it's most likely – not. I wouldn't say players most likely. Players feel like he could give it a go in three.
Okay.
Just the way – what they've seen him being able to do leading up to this point. With all that being said, he's been out for a while. And Steve Kerr said, you know, with a calf injury, like, once you re-injure it, you got to shut it down.
Yeah.
And so that's the concern right there. He's not going to be 100%. He's not. And he playing like the Golden State Warriors. This is the best defensive team the Warriors have faced during their championship run.
Yeah.
When you look at the length, the versatility that the Raptors have at that end. So it's not going to be a cakewalk, you know, and I'm not going to say it's a foregone conclusion that the Warriors win if KD gets back, because right now, man, the Raptors, they're not scared. They're not intimidated, man. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, if you're KD, you come back, and the first thing you see after injury is Kawhi Leonard coming at you defensively. Yeah. Like, that's
– first game.
That's not easy.
First game. You know, usually when the player is out for a significant injury, the team will look to get them back on a cupcake day.
Yeah.
Well, Phoenix Suns are in town. Cool. Yeah. Get out there.
Yeah.
Oh, this is – it's brutal right here.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I think, you know, I think for the Warriors, like, just based on the rotation, like, you kind of need KD to come back in. Because one thing that kind of jumped out at me from a tactical standpoint is, you know, the Warriors are very famous for going small.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it very successfully. They've run centers off the floor. But then yesterday, they played all 48 minutes with the center on the floor. And I think part of that,
I was shocked with that.
The weakness came, you know, started showing up because Marc Gasol then comes up with 20 points.
I was
points.
Shocked with that. I didn't think that Marc Gasol would be able to play in the series, because I thought they would
Same.
Speed it up, because they did that in Portland.
Yeah.
Against Portland, they sped it up. Draymond was just playing that point forward role like I've never seen him play before, but they didn't do that. They switched it up a little bit. And I don't know. It's early. These teams aren't too familiar with each other. They haven't played each other, you know. Even the times they played in the regular season, Draymond mentioned it. You know, Steph was hurt. He was hurt one time.
Yeah.
Kawhi, I think, sat out of the game. So, you know, this is like a boxing match. They're trying to feel their way.
Right, for sure. We got to talk Kawhi. I know we just talked Kawhi, but we got to talk Kawhi again. You know, you spoke to Dennis Robertson, Kawhi's uncle, and, you know, I mean, you got the story. I mean, first off, I think the one thing, at least from Raptors fans, that they took away most positively is about Dennis saying that Kawhi has spoken positively about Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he went all the way in terms of he could have been more forward with the praise, I mean, if he wanted to. But what was the sort of like the – what's the sentiment there?
Well, believe me, I asked about – you know, obviously I have a job to ask about what's his plans moving forward, free agency, things of that nature. Knowing good and well, he can't respond to that.
Of course.
He can't answer that.
But
so,
you got to ask.
Yeah, I got to ask. And I think he threw an olive branch. He threw something to where what he could say about the team. And, you know, he loves the city.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi loves the city. And, you know, the Raptors organizations have done everything that they've promised.
That's right.
And it's been that was the exact opposite from his experience last year in San Antonio.
Right.
But, you know, but another thing is this, is the timing of it as well.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, they don't talk much at all.
No.
You know, Kawhi or Uncle Dennis, it's hard to get him on record to say something. So the timing of that, if I'm a Raptors fan, I would be encouraged because, you know, they're feeling good.
Okay.
That shows they're feeling like, why else would you come out and talk?
Yeah, that's true.
Right
that's
now?
True.
You feeling good about where things are standing right now? And, okay. You know that you know he used the term validated. It was like you know validation. So I take that as you know validated with the move that they made in requesting a trade,
right?
And also validation in ended up making this work situation work here in Toronto.
Yep.
So I think it was all positive, and you know obviously he can't say some things. It's in June, but you know that all of that is encouraging.
Did he sort of maybe shed light on the fact that I think some people are worried about Toronto in the sense that, like, you know, it might not be the same marketing or business opportunities in Toronto as compared to something like LA, where it's like the media capital of the world and things like this. You know, like, I don't know. I think over the last couple, I mean, you just seen over the last couple of months, like, first off, Kawhi has had more endorsements and more visibility in Toronto.
I see more of him now than I did in San Antonio.
That's true, but that was San Antonio. But, I mean, if he goes to a place like L.A., like, you know what I mean, is there going to be the same opportunities? And, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm just thinking out loud here, but,
the
like.
Same opportunities.
The same man. Ones. When you're at a certain point, you get the same, as a player, you get the same opportunities.
I get that. I just don't think Kawhi is worried about that. You know what I mean? I mean, like, for God's sakes, he signed with New Balance. You know what I'm saying? Not to disrespect.
He got me to buy a pair. Right, so.
You know, okay, well, it's working. It's working. Exactly. So, you know, I'm not – that's not to diss him or to, you know, dismiss the shoe. No disrespect to that company. You know, I hope they – you know, New Balance and Puma. Because I got some New Balances and Pumas in the mail a couple weeks ago. So hopefully they make a comeback and able to thrive. But I'm just saying, like, he could have signed with a big – he could have went Adidas. He could have went Under Armour. You know, a brand that's considered to be, you know, up there. But he doesn't care about that stuff. I think really for him, it's about being comfortable.
Yep.
And happy. Really, that's all I think. And I think with what this run or what he's bringing this city, the organization, the love he's getting, the trust.
Mm-hmm.
That they've earned and just handling his whole process all year, you just can't dismiss that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I mean, there was that clip that came around of, you know, Dennis hugging Masai after game seven. I mean, whatever. You just won game seven on like a ridiculous shot. You're going to hug everyone around you.
Hey, then there was a clip of his sister.
I saw that too. Yeah. I saw that
no,
too.
But I brought that up because it's like every little thing blows up and making it into something that it's not. But that, you know, that's just a social media area.
That's true. That's true. All right, I gotta ask you too. This media basketball game you're putting on.
Are you playing?
No, I'm not playing. I have no game. But
hold on. I think that's most media. So you'll blend in.
I was gonna say no, because I remember watching a couple of years ago, you did a one-on-one video with Will Barton.
Yeah, I played a one-on-one.
And I was like, Chris could actually play.
I played college ball, yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is, you know, so I was covering the Blazers at the time.
Yeah.
And Will, for some reason, you know how players, they always get on media. You know?
Yeah, of course.
How can y'all write about basketball? Y'all ain't played. I'm like, hold on, man. I played. Where you play at? I'm like, I played at D2 school. I played. Yes. Let me see your highlights. Well, I pulled up my phone.
Okay.
Showed them highlights.
You really got highlights on YouTube. You mean I can find this?
Yeah, you can find it. Yeah.
Okay.
And showed me dunking and everything. And Will was like, "Oh, those just fast break dunks. I'll stop you. You wouldn't score on me." I'm like, I said, "Will, look." I'm like, "Look, man. I understand you're an NBA player.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
Sure."
So he came up with the idea, "I'll give you 10 opportunities to score on me."
Yep.
And I won't play. He said he won't play offense. He's just playing defense. And he said, "You wouldn't score one basket." I said, "Will, look, I respect you. You're an NBA player. But I was a scorer in college.
Yep.
You give me 10 opportunities, you are not shutting me down 10 straight times." And it got to this big old, you know, he made a big deal about it in the locker room with the players, and soon it got out to the public. So we like, man, we're going to broadcast this thing.
You got to do it at that point.
Broadcast. And so I scored 3 times out of 10 on him. Like, ended up hitting my second shot.
That's pretty good.
Jumper right in his face.
Yep.
Right in his face. And, you know, like, I'm not saying anywhere, I'm nowhere near the class of Will Barton, but I played the game.
Yeah.
So you not stopping me 10 straight times, period.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say, because I remember when that video came out, I was like, nah, I'm gonna duck out of this game. But I was gonna ask you, like, it seems like you got a lot of interest in that game.
It was crazy. I didn't expect it.
Can you shed light on who's participating in the game and whether or not it's gonna be live streamed? Because I think there's a significant interest in people watching this thing.
It will be live streamed. Break out the list. So initially, you know, we organize these runs every finals, and usually we get about 15, maybe 17 guys max.
That's it?
Yeah, because it's hard during the finals, especially in the Bay Area. Everybody is located. Most of the media go and stay in the city, in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And sometimes we might get the gym in Walnut Creek or somewhere far. The traffic is just, bad.
Okay.
So it's tough for guys to get there. So that's the reason the numbers are typically low. But, this company that I'm doing it with, you know, they're going to provide transportation back and forth.
Okay.
And so, you know, I put that out. I was thinking I'm just going to get – I don't know what I was thinking, but I just felt like that would be the fastest way to get the word out. Hey, we can take care of you. Man, I got over 100 responses.
Yep.
I tried to limit it initially. Not limit it, but keep it – you know, get all the regular NBA media who usually participates. Get them in. And then after that, once they're in, once they want to play or not – then I add the regular, all the other media that just comes to cover the event. And so I had to cap it at 40.
Okay.
I had to cap it at 40. And so to answer your question about names, let's see. Stephen A. tweeted at me. I invited him.
Okay.
I want to break out that tweet.
Yo, there's a video on YouTube of Stephen A. draining jumpers before our OKC game.
Was that when James Harden was throwing them?
He was like in a suit and stuff? And he was making a decent amount. Yeah, he's making a decent amount, like suit, dress shoes, everything. So that's not easy.
No, Stephen A. and he has elevation on his jump shot. Like he's he gets up on his jump shot, even for an old man. So I'll give him props with that. But he tweets. So I text him. You know, gave him a, here it is. I text him just to send an invite, waiting for a response. He texts me, check Twitter, bro. That's my response. I'm like, what did he tweet? So I go back. His tweet read to me, "Hell to the nah, Chris at B. Haynes. I haven't played in 3 years, and you just going to drop this on my 50-year-old ass. Just because you walk around wearing sneakers with those damn suits all the time doesn't mean the rest of us do. I am not playing. Hell no." Nah.
That's unfortunate. That's what Stephen A. Come on, man. Come on.
I got my guy, Vince Goodwill, my Yahoo Sports colleague. I got Tim Bontemps from ESPN. I got Ethan Strauss from The Athletic. Got Sam Amick from The Athletic. I got Nate Duncan from the Patreon.
I heard he could play. He can ball. He's like tall.
He's tall. He's 6'6". He can dunk still. I got Logan Murdoch. He can hoop it from NBC Bay Area. I'm trying to think, man. Who else? I'm trying to throw.
How are you bringing up this team too? Is it like area specific?
No, I'm gonna just.
We don't have a Toronto team.
No, I didn't. No, well, you know what? So it's funny. Speaking of Toronto, so somebody from Toronto. I'm not gonna mention his name. Somebody from Toronto.
People love media beats. No.
Hey, so somebody in Toronto. They committed.
Okay.
I had him on the roster.
Uh huh.
Then word got out that it was going to be live stream.
Oh.
And then he pulls out.
Wow.
And says, hey, I didn't know it was going to be live stream. I don't play that well. I'm like, hold on. This is media members.
Yeah,
like,
who
this
cares?
Do you think because if people feel that you're not good at basketball, that your reporting is not going to be credible? Like, I don't understand. And I've gotten texts from players. I'm not going to say their name. Texts from players, like, as soon as I put that tweet out, about, you know, this game,
mm-hmm.
I'll show you real quick.
Yeah.
I know this is not good for live podcast.
It's coming out, don't worry.
Here you go.
As soon as that
tweet went out about this event, I had players hit me up like, hey, I might show up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's the live stream? So it's just a fun. This is a fun opportunity. Yeah. Like, don't take it too seriously. Like, we're just having fun, most of these people, they know we can't play. You know,
that's why we're media.
Yeah, that's why we're media. You know, so it's not. You know, just have fun with it, man. Don't take it too seriously.
All right, I'm gonna look forward to watching that live stream and probably jiffing some people. You know,
you probably will. It's all good.
But yeah, I mean, circling back to the finals and stuff like that, I mean, after Raptors take game one, you know, just, you know, where do you sort of see the series, you know, wrapping up? If KD doesn't come back until game four, let's say the Raptors take a 2-0 lead, which is possible, mm-hmm. with home court and everything like that. You just described, you know, the atmosphere in the building is crazy and stuff like that. You know, game three, that's going to be real difficult just because they're going on the road. You see, this Raptors team is not the old Raptors teams. They're not going to get flustered. You know, they're going to be competitive. There's mm-hmm. a chance they might go up 3-0. And at that point, if KD comes back and he's not 100%, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to talk you into my Raps in Five, church here. Like, you got to come join the Raps in Five.
I'm here, amen. I'm here. I'm in the service. Yeah. I'm in the service. I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. But you see, it's possible.
It is.
It's very unlikely, but it's possible.
It is. It's one game at a time. But look, and that's why I say, like, how Toronto fares. Like, if they go up 2-0, man, like, I think that puts more urgency on KD to come back.
Yeah.
Sooner, like, for that game three.
Mm-hmm.
I know game four will probably be more ideal for everybody within the organization. But look, man, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. The Warriors have never lost the first game.
Never.
In this run. So that's saying something.
Yeah, and it was like 12 straight game ones.
And this is the thing, too. Everybody was talking about, hey, Golden State, they don't need KD. They're back to their 2015 ways. The core is still Steph, Draymond, and Klay, which is true.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you right one thing that you're overlooking. This team has the weakest depth that it's had during this whole championship
run. That's true.
And so when you look at the last game, look at game one. You know, Steph had 34.
Yep.
Klay wasn't efficient, but I think he had 21.
Yep. That's pretty good.
But there was a drop off after that.
Yeah.
So even if Klay and Steph get you 60 combined, it's not enough.
Yeah.
There's no legitimate, reliable third option.
Yeah.
If Kevin Durant's not there. And for this Toronto Raptors team.
Yeah, they're good defensively.
Yeah.
They're really good.
You're going to need a third option.
Yeah.
So that's where KD is desperately needed. Mm. And we have to remember, for Golden State, I think everybody just took that narrative of they can just do what they did in previous years without him. That was Portland. That was the Portland Trailblazers.
And that was a banged up Portland
Trailblazers.
Exhausted.
At that.
Yep.
Exhausted, banged up. And it was the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
The Rockets were the true, when you talk about from a competitive standpoint, the true Western Conference Finals matchup.
Yeah.
So I think people saw what they did to Portland and thought that this can be sustainable. But Toronto is not Portland.
Yeah. No, that's definitely. And look, I think for KD, in terms of just, you know, I mean, KD way better than, you know, anyone else in this room. But like, you know, KD does care about sort of the conversation around him and sort of his legacy, and he's sort of shown that. I mean, if he comes back and he changes the series and the Warriors are in this big hole and then KD comes to save them, that's like the perfect situation for KD.
It's the perfect situation for KD, and it'll be the worst nightmare for NBA fans because they want to see him leave.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a Raptors fan. I'm loving this. This is a very competitive series. Yeah. I haven't seen a competitive NBA final since 2016 before KD got there, so you know, I prefer one way or the other, but I mean, this would be great for KD.
It's all the stage is set. The stage is going to be set.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to how it shakes out. What was your official prediction coming into the series? Did you give one?
Warriors in six.
In six. Did that game one change anything for you?
Yes, it did.
What did it change?
It changed everything, man. I didn't think. I covered.
I was going to say, you were around the Warriors a lot.
I covered the Cavs for 2 years when LeBron went back.
Yeah.
So I'm used to seeing the same old Raptors
mm-hmm.
team
floundering
at the end. Like, I'm used to it. Just seeing it. Used to it.
Yeah.
And I know they got, you know, I know it's a swap for Kawhi and DeRozan, but, you know, I'm used to seeing Kyle Lowry crumble. But now there's a different person who's occupying that second tier option in Pascal, and Kawhi is a top three player, so it's a different team. So I thought maybe the Raptors would show themselves again to what they were, but they're different. And the atmosphere, man. And like I said, I can't keep talking about that enough. I was blown away.
I was standing and like just watching the anthem, and I was like, this is a moment. Like, it's a moment. And, like, whatever. You're in NBA arenas all the time, the anthem. You know what I mean? Like, you're not trying trying to do other things. You know what I mean? But, like, I had to stand there and just watch, and it was beautiful. You got to soak it in.
And that's why I don't put much stock into fans. And, you know, I get arenas got teams have to do that. The fan is the 12th man or whatever they call them, you know. But that was different.
Yeah.
And there was a real vibe, a real feeling that you could just feel, like, and it was thick.
Mm.
And I was like, damn, like, shit, like, they really got an advantage here.
Yeah.
Like, I still didn't know if Toronto was going to bring it.
Yeah.
So, it has changed. I'm not saying I'm still picking Toronto, but,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Obviously, game two is going to dictate a lot, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, you know what? In terms of dynasty teams, like, you never see it coming when it just, like, it falls off a little bit. And I'm not saying the Warriors are going to fall off. These guys are young. They're in the primes. They can rebuild their team a little bit, but you just never see it coming. No one saw 2014 coming.
But
let me
tell you this as well. Just think about the storybook ending that this can have. Masai Ujiri takes a chance, trades one of the most beloved stars in the franchise history, a star who loves Toronto, wanted to stay.
Something
that's different from any other player that y'all had here. For he traded him for a player who didn't want to be here initially.
Yeah.
Then goes through the season, great success, knocking down barriers that they didn't get, you know, haven't got to previously. And then to top it off, knock off a dynasty.
Yeah.
Like, that's a storybook.
Yep.
Like, that's that shit just came on mind right now. Like, that's
write the book right now. Buying that book.
Well, I got that ending is important, so I gotta wait a little bit. But you think about all that, all of that, and then add in, you know, the whole DeMar Masai drama that went on after that.
Yep.
DeMar, I don't know if you saw my interview with DeMar. It was right after the trade. You know, that was me right there.
Jeez, oh, you're
and
everywhere.
So. You know, he felt pissed. He felt like Masai lied to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you add all of that. It's coming full circle. And they go through all that to knock off the dynasty.
Yeah.
Man, that'd be a powerful book.
You got me hyped. I'm buying this book. All right. Chris, thank you so much for coming on. You know, by the way, listen to Post It Up. Your podcast. You just had Adam Silver on. I was just listening to it the other day.
Oh, thank you.
It's a great interview. I thought you hit him with a couple of hard questions.
Yeah, I mean, look, I felt like, you know, some of those questions, I feel like just being one of the few people of color in the media, like I had an obligation to ask, you know, some questions
for sure
about that.
Especially the fan engagement thing.
Yeah,
a bubbling issue,
yeah,
for sure.
And that's something that players, I asked a couple of players, you know,
yeah,
any burning questions, that was like one of the main ones. But no, I was just, I like to see Adam in a different light, and I think people check it out if they want to see it on YouTube or just the audio. Like, Adam shows some personality, has some jokes about the Lakers, man. So, no, I please encourage everybody to check that out.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Toronto, I love y'all. Check it out, please. Give bro some love. I got nothing but love for the Six. I do. Come on now.
I can see the sentiment changing. We'll always have that one tweet, but I mean, now that we know that you voted Pascal most improved, now that you're telling us Raptors have a good chance here in the finals,
Toronto. What I mean? So I'm good, people.
All right, thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you again to Chris for coming on the show, and I'll be back after Game 2 for the Reaction Podcast. Thank you.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.